All right, what's up, guys? It's Gutex. We are back with the official esports show, the official show of esports. Zoreen is back from, where did you go? You said vacation. I was like, there's no such thing in esports.
Funny you say that. I went to Japan, actually, and I see that in my absence, the show did not go on, so it has become evident to me that I am clearly the glue that holds this whole masterpiece together.
100%, Zoreen. You know, Slasher will go dark on me, he'll make excuses, but when you're involved, except for today,
mm-hmm.
He's totally down. We don't know where he went.
It's all right. So, you know, that being said, it is clear now that I can never go on vacation again, lest my worst fears become realized and the official esports show does not go on. So
okay.
I had a fantastic time. Fortunately, going to prep me for the rest of my life, never going on vacation again.
Oh, what happened?
No, it was great. It was fantastic. I actually had a fantastic time. And in the fighting game related news, I went and played some games while I was there. I hit up Sugamo Arcade. I think it was like Bandai Namco Land, which is the heart of the Tekken scene in Tokyo. Very cool space. They had a lot of pro players, like sign stuff up on the walls. There was a live stream happening. It was cool to see it all in person.
Do you have videos, photos?
I have some photos, actually, but I didn't take any videos. I don't know if you're allowed. I wasn't sure if you're allowed to, like, take videos or photos there. So I was like, I'm just going to, like, be careful about this.
I think it may not be as strict as it used to be, but definitely for, I mean, last time I was there, you were not supposed to take videos of anybody in the arcades. But I don't know if it's different at, like the console centers.
Oh, I mean, it was a proper arcade, like,
oh,
it was,
yeah,
like, machines.
Okay, then, yeah. So. No, you're not allowed. This is a phone-free zone.
Definitely. I remember one time, long time ago, actually, one of my first trips to Japan, tried to take a video, and one of the arcade attendants was like, no, you can't do that. So I was like, oh, sorry, didn't know. So, yes, learned my lesson. Definitely didn't try to do it again this time. But there was a live stream, and I appeared on it, I think, apparently. So playing some casuals against one of the best Tekken players there. So that was fun. Super fun.
Nice. Yeah. What do we have? Where are these videos? You always come empty-handed, Zoreen. You got great stories. Great stories and no proof.
All we need is the great stories. Hey, I'll go dig up those videos online somewhere.
Okay. We're gonna make this show more
up the production a bit.
Yeah, I know. We'll give Lewis a challenge. Kidding. Anyway, and speaking of Lewis, the official esports show is powered by XSplit. Thanks to XSplit for helping to run this show. It's a real struggle. It's a real struggle without you guys. And so thanks to them, as well as thanks to Blue Microphones for supplying these beautiful microphones that sound great. Click on the panel in the dashboard. I'm looking at the dashboard. Click the panel on the Twitch channel. All right. Slasher's gone, so hey, whatever. everybody gets a Slasher-free episode. So for those
those don't come often, all right?
What?
They don't come often, all right? So, like, you know.
Exactly.
Take it for what it is right now.
Gotta enjoy it. Make every moment count. Cool. Well, yeah. So welcome back.
Thank you.
It has been, there's been some recent developments for, let's call them, what do we call them? what do you journalists call them? They were like, it was a developing story. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes. Follow-ups to our developing story. One of our developing stories. ESPN is reporting, or reported the other day, that the Metarama Gaming and Music Festival that was going to be in Las Vegas next month has been officially canceled. If you guys had been paying attention, this was going to be headlined by little-known streamer you may not have heard of named Ninja, as well as had, I don't know, people like Marshmello and Logic and Snoop Dogg on the music side of things. And it looks like they have thrown in the towel after weeks, possibly even months, of trying desperately to make people care, sell tickets or whatever, create any kind of buzz. Unfortunately, it is dead on arrival. A moment of silence.
Does it deserve a moment of silence? Or is the whole thing mismanaged from the start? I mean, before I say my bit, I want to hear what you think about it, Gutex, because, you know, you are very close to the Vegas scene, and you are very tapped into the music scene as well. So curious to know what you thought about when they first announced it. I remember you seemed very interested, but are you surprised that it has gone bust?
Am I surprised? Honestly, yeah, I am kind of surprised because, I don't know. I guess I just don't know the ins and outs of being able to cancel festivals, you know, a month and a half away from when they're supposed to happen. I don't know. I didn't actually think it would go belly up, but it definitely seemed like it wasn't doing very well. From the initial announcement, there was like, I guess, a little bit of buzz, but that sort of died out quickly. You know, I was following, you know, on Instagram, and, you know, I would, anytime I saw something about it, I would click it just to see what was going on. But I guess a slasher would say, inside sources confirmed to me that this thing was not going very well. I had a couple of people that I talked to that sort of were talking with them, trying to fix things. And it definitely just seemed like it was, I'm not going to say it was beyond saving, but like, I didn't really see what they did that I guess would have changed anything. I think that they, you know, because it was a partnership between the people that do C3, which is the company that does Lollapalooza and Austin City Limits, which are two other big music festivals. Mm-hmm. You know, they have the background or the expertise to do a festival, a music festival. And I think there's a lot of festivals out there that are looking to expand from just music into, you know, gaming and other types of entertainment. But they just didn't get anybody on the gaming side, I guess, to like care about it. I had heard that like the contracts didn't actually include having the headliners or the, you know, the featured artists or streamers or whatever. There was nothing in there that said that they had to promote it, I guess, after that first initial wave, which would probably explain why, I don't know, nobody was really talking about it. I don't know. Everything that I saw on Instagram, it just looked like, yeah, just nobody cared.
Do you think the problem was with the marketing or like the logistics behind it, where like it went brute, like it was down, like there were problems down to the root of it all?
It seemed like it was everything.
all of really, the above.
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping to talk with them, but that never happened. I also had another group of friends reach out to them, but I never heard anything back about that, so I'm assuming nothing happened. But anyways, I was cheering for them, but it doesn't surprise me that it was difficult to get the messaging across effectively. You know, they didn't really say what was going to happen. I mean, you already know, okay, music, like, all right, these people are going to perform, but because this had never really been done before in gaming, they didn't do a really good job of saying or conveying what the experience would be like.
Right, like what do? You go there, you see Marshmallow and Ninja play on stage, or like you see some exhibition matches, like what's the actual experience like?
Right, and you know, it just seems like a missed opportunity because they had all these Fortnite people, right? So, you know, I think it's a very cool, I wish I was a Battle Royale player, right? Because mm-hmm. the idea of being able to play with 99 other people, playing the same experience, especially if that can be in person, to me would be a fantastic experience for people that like, you know, for people that like the genre. So in my mind, I'm like, well, best case scenario, as a fan, I would want to go and actually get a chance at playing a game with, you know, Ninja and Pokimane and all these other people. Because to me, that would be the ultimate fan experience, right?
Was that what was being sold, though? I don't know if that was what was being sold at all.
No, not at all. If that was, number one, I don't think that was the plan. And number two, if it was, they'd never actually explain that to anybody. Yeah. That's just my opinion of what I think would have worked and what would have been a cool experience. But, you know, I don't know, who knows what they were actually planning to do.
All right. Well,
yeah.
This is my two cents. At first I was like, oh, that's surprising. It is like a failure and they canceled it. Then I kind of looked into it a little bit more because while I didn't like, I did see that they announced Meta, like when they announced Metarama, I did look into it. I didn't like follow it very heavily, you know, didn't dig into the specifics. But now that I did, I'm like, well, of course it failed. Jesus Christ. All right. There are like a couple of factors why I think, and you know, this is all free knowledge for everyone who's watching. But firstly, tickets were way overpriced. Okay. It was $150 for the cheapest ticket tier. And that's like range. And the range was like 150 to like 800 and something, I believe. And that is way too expensive for any gaming event. That is more expensive than any other gaming event I could think of.
That's the price of. That's like standard music festival prices.
Yeah, but gamers don't know that, right? Like how many gamers would have gone to a music festival and outside of like really like prestigious esports events like the International where you know exactly what you're getting, you know what you're going for, you make this whole thing out of it. It's a proven concept, right? Whereas Metarama, totally new, not really sure what the experience it is. And like, as you mentioned, they don't even like market it to the point where like you understand what it is. What are you actually getting? Like, what's the thing of Metarama? So ticket prices were priced way too high for that festival for what it was. Even if you got the chance to meet Ninja or meet Pokimane, but you don't know if you're going to meet them like for certain because again, the marketing wasn't very clear. Second thing, it was like 3 weeks after TwitchCon. And like all these streamers would be at TwitchCon anyway. TwitchCon, which is again a proven concept, people like have been to TwitchCon. People know how successful it is. People know like everyone goes. It's a great time for everyone. Twitch knows how to run that event well. They've done it before. You're asking people to go like to TwitchCon, and then like 3 weeks later, this like new festival that maybe you can see streamers, but you're not really sure what you're supposed to do there. Like it's just like a big question mark. So I think those were the two main factors that like really, really like pushed it over the edge and made it fall. But the other one, which, you know, you brought up, which I think is a very good point, is like none of the people who were featured were promoting it. So you know, like I bet if Ninja was promoting it more, that might have helped push ticket sales. If like all the big streamers like Pokimane, Marshmello, all those folks, and like, you know, Marshmello was a headliner on that flyer, on the Metarama flyer. Let's not forget, he's a resident in Vegas. Would I pay $150 to go to some outdoor gaming thing where I might see Marshmello? Or do I want to like go pay and have a great time in a club where he's playing his set, where he's an actual resident? I think he's a resident in the Chaos nightclub or whatever. Like, it's happening in Vegas.
Well said. Yeah, good point. Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that, but yeah, 100%. I mean, here's the thing. I wasn't even going to touch what I thought about the lineup and all of the issues with that, because to me, it's like, I don't know. That's just my taste, you know. But you're totally spot on with everything.
Thank you. Thank you. Sometimes I know what I'm talking about. Oh, but no, yeah, I mean, those were kind of like the main standout points to me. You know, I've only had all today to think about it. maybe like a couple of hours thinking about it. But yeah, I'm sure like if we dig into it more and do some investigative research, we could probably pull up a lot more reasons why it failed.
Ah, well, here's the thing. As luck would have it, Metarama may not have been the only gaming plus music festival in town, because shortly after they announced this getting canceled, there was, or actually the week before. Okay.
Oh, wow. It really got announced the week before?
Okay.
That's
so
crazy.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Shout outs to Sean, who gave me the heads up on this one. So Player Omega, and so this was from Esports Insider on August 20th. Player Omega is a new gaming event from Kevin Lyman, who, for those of you guys who are not from Southern California, might be forgiven to not know who this guy is, but basically he was one of the guys who he basically started the Vans Warped Tour, which was basically like the first, I don't know, like the first touring music festival of its kind. This was like sort of like late mid-90s to like up until recently. So that would be where you would go see all your favorite punk rock or emo or hardcore bands or whatever. So now, and so Warped Tour has been, I think last year or the year before was like the last one. So this looks like this is his new venture into, of course, into gaming. So, and this is funny. Player Omega describes itself as fully participatory, utilizing community-focused qualities found at local LAN events and blowing it up to a scale seen in major esports tournaments and music tours.
Wow, that's so unique. There definitely doesn't exist a giant LAN party event for gamers and also includes music at the same time.
Wait,
definitely
brand new. Has
content.
Cosplay? Wait, hold on. But it has cosplay, panel discussions, art, and of course, live music.
Oh, there you go. Definitely the most unique gaming event. There is no gaming event. God, I sound like Slasher. I'm feeling his role. There is no gaming event that exists that features a LAN tournament, music elements, and cosplay, as well as panels on the side for all these things tying together. That's definitely one of a kind, brand new.
Well,
I've never seen it before.
Just to play devil's advocate, not all ideas have to be new, and there can be more than just one player in a space, major player in a space.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And that's I totally agree with that. More competition, etc. is great. But if you're going to come out and say our event is totally unique and something special and is different, and that it's nothing like anything that people have seen before, you're gonna have to set yourself up to get called out for something, right? Like, come on.
Well, you know, what else are they going to say? Who knows?
And yes, Chad, I am referring to DreamHack. that all those things just describe DreamHack exactly, which is the longest running LAN party in the world. I feel like DreamHack would have something to say about this.
Well, I'm sure DreamHack isn't too worried. the other thing that I thought is interesting. So Kevin Lyman says there are gamers outside the major metro areas, and Player Omega wants to make sure it's their turn for the big event. Some of the best esports competitors come from overlooked places. Player Omega wants to assure nobody's passed over again and build champions from local communities.
Okay, that is interesting to me.
Yes. That's a very punk rock point of view. I respect that.
He's bringing his experience over from the war.
Totally. I mean, yeah, ethos are important. Company plans to expand to host events in 10 different cities in 2020 and 2021.
I mean, yes, there are gamers outside of major metro areas.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why a lot of top talent comes from major cities, especially in the US. And that's just because there's more people, and more people to play with equals like more room to improve and innovate, and stronger communities to come out and like create stronger players.
Yeah. But if you draw more attention to the scene by holding big events there, then that would only help to expand that local community, the local scene.
You think so? You think having a one-off like event once a year will help expand the local community?
Well, this is assuming that it's only once a year. I think the way that they're trying to, the way that they have it positioned is 10 events. So next year and the year after. So to me, they're trying to test different locations at like the B tier cities.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too dissimilar, or it reminds me of Wizard World, because that convention circuit, they hit all the B tier cities, which I never really considered as a strategy for a traveling event, I guess.
Right.
So these guys seem like they're following, that they could be following a similar model.
Oh yeah.
DreamHack is only going to the biggest places.
Yep. And hey, like, that's awesome that if these like communities that don't normally get exciting big events get served, I think that's great. I just think that the particular like line he had about like building champions from local communities is a little bit rich, right? And that's just me speaking from
who just showed up in esports.
Well, no, I mean, like, that's me coming from Australia, one of the most, like, you know, neglected countries when it comes to esports, right? And people bring their large events to the country, which are very exciting, and they're great when they happen, but it's hardly enough to build, like, champions, right? And, like, if we do build champions from such a remote place like Australia, it's because we have consistent, regular local events where they can practice, and we set up like communities for them that way, not because someone came in and brought like one big event to the scene once a year.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, we all have to take it upon ourselves to build to do what we can to build our local community with or without, you know, any sort of outside intervention or whatever corporate sponsors coming down the pipe. We have to do what we can ourselves and take responsibility. So,
but hey, yeah. Maybe he's referring to like prizing or scholarships or something to support, you know, longer term competitive gameplay for players who might be interested in doing something like that, or providing them opportunities to fly to other locations where they're planning to bring their events. So that would be really cool to see.
Totally. I mean, the potential is there. They really can do a lot, but I think it's just going to, it's just going to kind of depend on how they I don't know. It's just going to depend on how the first one goes.
And this is happening at Fairplex in Pomona, California.
Yeah, that's like 40 minutes east of downtown.
Okay. Wait, what's Fairplex? Is that like
That's where they have the... Oh, wait, Zoreen, you haven't been to the fair yet? How long have you been living in LA?
Wait, is this where the LA County Fair happens?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know it was called the Fairplex. I just knew it as the LA County Fair. Okay. Well, that's cool. That is kind of a little bit more remote from the area. Still in LA, but yeah.
No, Zoreen. It's definitely not in LA. It's like so far.
Really? People travel from there to like Santa Ana for Wednesday night flights.
Totally. The hungriest will travel for sure, but you gotta remember this is for the masses. This is for the people that don't know it's a thing.
Oh, okay. All right.
If they can get those people, it could definitely work. And this is, I don't know, this is kind of where it's interesting to see this going, see it the way that it's going, because the adults are coming in from the other industries, people that have either the money or the experience in some other industry that was like top of the line is now doing their best to dip their toes into esports.
Right. So, all right, look out for Player Omega, which is the name of the event, but also the name of the company that is hosting the event. So, Player Omega, presented by Player Omega. Or hosted by
Player Omega.
Okay, yeah, cool. Definitely exciting stuff. Really, really curious to see how it goes. And that's coming in November 9th to 10th. Is there anything else happening on that date? I don't know. I feel like that's a pretty safe kind of like time, like space. What's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, it's not a crowded weekend.
Brain farting here. When's Capcom Cup?
Oh, Capcom isn't... Wait, did
they move it? It's December, right? Okay, cool.
But they moved it to LA, right?
Yes, they did. I don't believe they've announced the venue yet, but... Oh, yes, December 13th. Oh, Novo Theater. There you go. Oh, it's downtown. Nice.
Oh, it's at the Novo?
Yes.
Good choice. Good choice, Kat.
Gutex approves.
Yes. At first, I was just salty because I was going to have to leave Vegas. but the Novo is an excellent choice. Excellent venue.
Okay, but yes, so Player Omega, definitely going to be curious. I'm going to try to check it out when it happens November 9th and see what... Also curious to see how they go about marketing this whole... It looks like they want to do the whole like amateurs to participate thing.
Zoreen, since you're going to be there, how about you put on your investigative journalist hat, go and hit them up for a media badge?
Oh, yeah. All right. I will...
Field trip. Ooh.
Yeah, Gutex and Zoreen, go to Player Omega at the fair. Gonna be great, everyone. We're gonna go incognito and like participate in this amateur tournament as well. Technically, we are amateurs. We're definitely not professional players, so we are more than eligible for this amateur tournament. I feel whatever it is they decide to host. So,
exactly. I may be a has been. But I'm definitely a never was in Battle Royale, FPS, MOBAs. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm more than qualified. Who knows? Maybe I'm the next...
That's right.
Next homegrown community champion.
And if we bomb out, we can just go enjoy the music festival portion of this whole thing, I believe.
I'm hoping... Well, here's the thing. These guys... it's not like they just put this thing together, right? Like, clearly they've been working on this for a while.
Oh yeah, that's true. Oh my god, tickets are already on sale at the Ticket Fairy. I'm curious to see what kind of music acts they go for, because I mean, like, you know, gamers music tastes really range, right? Are they gonna go for the classic EDM, everyone? Yes. Or are they gonna tap into the Warped Tour roots and go a little more punk? That'd be really interesting and cool to see. Or you know, there's a fashion portion to this too. That's interesting. Let's see how much their tickets are. Okay, so if you want to go as a general attendee, general attendance tickets are $50. Wait, what the hell? And if your parent tickets are $5? What? I'm so confused by this pricing structure. Okay. Oh, wait. So if you're a parent accompanying a child under 15, their ticket for you is $5. That's really nice. And that actually gets you access to, like, playing the game and all the Omega Zones, whatever that means. But a general admission ticket is usually, it's $50, and if you want to compete, a ticket is $90 for competitors, which is a little bit steep for, I think, I mean, looking at this from a fighting games point of view, like, if you're an FGC member, you're not used to paying that much to compete in a tournament, even if that does include little extras like panels, entertainment, open play. I'm trying to look at this list, what else that includes. Access to Omega Zones. Okay.
Wait, are you? It also says,
just Genesis, go with...
compete in some of your favorite fighting games.
Oh my god, why'd they have to name it Genesis? Of all things, sounds like a Smash thing. Someone's saying, just go in with some random kid.
Ooh, wait, hey, look at. Wait, okay. EGF, Electronic Gaming Federation, high school tournaments, pitch Omega. Pitch your startup for a shot at receiving seed funding up to $100,000.
That seems like an opportunity. A big opportunity. We should go. Let's not tell anyone else about it. Quick, delete the so no one else
Lewis, can go cut to the pitch. Stream.
Cut the stream. Cut the feed. So we can go pitch our ideas for 100. I mean, 100K is kind of low, but maybe you can build something cool with that.
Hold on, I'm getting my elevator pitch ready. 1 second.
Seed funding for the official esports show. Yes, you're 12. Velado says, I'm 12, Zuri, take me. Done. All right, $5 for me and you're free. Oh, sorry, you have to be under 5. 12 is 2. 12 is considered an adult. Oh, wait, hang on. Oh, okay, so if you're under 5, it's free. Oh, okay, if you're over 5, you have to buy a GA ticket and the parent accompanying you can pay $5. All right, it's kind of complicated. Anyway, they haven't stated which fighting games. I like how for the other games they said what they were. Fortnite, Minecraft, Overwatch, CSGO, fighting games, general fighting games. Some of your favorite fighting games. Probably still dealing with licensing issues.
I don't think they have it that far ahead.
Well, they've got sponsors signed up already, so yeah, look at the thing. Subnation Alt DC.
Super League changed their whatever they were gonna do at Metarama to Player Omega right after.
Jeez.
National Championship Series, Nerd Street Gamers, CSL, World Gaming, EGF, G7, Subnation, Alt, and DC. Huh. All right.
Panels. Get insights from your favorite pro gamers in panel discussions. Ooh, I wonder which pro gamers are going to be there. I'm being serious.
Do you think Ninja will be there?
The pro gamer Ninja? The one and only pro gamer? Definitely. I mean, hang on, November. Let's see if it clashes with the schedule.
Oh my god. All right. Well, I mean, I'm down. Look at. If we're okay. unless there's a really good reason not to go, I think we should totally go. Like, I'm not going to go if I don't actually pitch something.
Oh, okay. Well, I just clicked into the website, and apparently the fighting game that they're featuring is Super Smash Bros. And it's being brought to them by Genesis, who actually run Smash tournaments. That's crazy. They actually tapped into the local community. They're doing something right. I like it. But for some reason, the splash art is of Mortal Kombat. That's funny. That's a really funny looking Smash. Hang on, let me link it in the... It's a great little screenshot they have. Great screenshot of Smash, very prominent fighting game, as you can see.
What?
And someone's playing it on the keyboard. Only the most prestigious of fighting game players play their fighting games on a keyboard. Actually, I say that, but some people actually legit are good on keyboard. But still, of all images, come on. However, I am impressed that they are using Genesis. If it is the same Genesis that hosts Genesis the Smash Major.
why do you think?
I mean, this is the kind of thing that I would, if I was a player, I would see this and be like, maybe I won't go to this tournament. Yeah,
totally. This is one of those events. Oh my god.
Oh my god. Hey, maybe that's who's handing out the 100,000 money, like, to fund your startup idea. He literally pulls out like 100K from like his pocket and is like, "I like your idea, go." You know?
I'm looking at the pitch page now. If you've ever wanted to be on Shark Tank, this is your shot. A select 20 entrepreneurs can pitch their startup ideas to a panel of venture capitalists and private investors. The winner at every stop of the tour has an opportunity to receive seed funding up to $100,000 led by BAM Ventures. Check back soon for signups.
BAM Ventures, an early stage consumer-focused fund based in California, Los Angeles.
We invest in people. Early stage fund, we back visionary founders that redefine categories and build the iconic brands of tomorrow.
So another one of those vague. Could you be any more vague? You might as well have said like, yeah, we do stuff. Thank you for your time.
Yeah.
Dear Lord.
Yeah, we got stuff. We do stuff. We got money. Yeah. Hit us up if you want some.
Oh, they were the ones that backed away that the travel luggage company. Anyway, I'm kind of falling down the rabbit hole now. Still, if you fail your pitch at one stop, you can go to the next event and try again, I imagine. No one can stop you, right? Although it says select 20 entrepreneurs. Sorry, I'm stumbling.
I think I'm top 20, Zorin. Come on.
For sure. I mean,
of the people who would apply?
Of the gamers? Yes, definitely. Fighting game tournaments and Shark Tanks. You read that right, Fonte. That is, this thing's going to be a ball. We definitely got to go.
All right.
And we're doing all their marketing for them.
Oh, right. I know. I'm sure there's hella people watching this that are going to...
So the 50 people.
Oh, yeah. They can't wait. They can't wait to see how this turns out.
Going to be great. Anyway, if we keep laughing at them, they're not going to give us a media pass. So I'm just going to zip now.
Come on, Zorin.
We're helping.
Nobody's going to watch this.
But yeah, cool. This looks interesting. Super interesting. Definitely. I definitely already know more about this than I knew about Metarama. Let me put it that way.
Ooh, shots fired.
Seriously.
Oh my god.
Wow. That's amazing, yes. Lewis. I hope the rest of the chat heard that too.
Yeah, I hope you heard that. Oh, my God. I wish you could have heard that.
I can't repeat it. It was definitely... The delivery was spot on.
All right. Yeah, Player Omega will come... We'll be inside of you soon. Let's see. All right, moving on. That was fun. So in a surprising, I mean, I was surprised at least, surprise announcement, SNK World Championships have been announced. And Samurai Showdown and the new King of Fighters are going to be part of it. And the finals are going to be March 28th through 29th, 2020 in Tokyo. Ooh. Oh my. This is pretty exciting for a certain chunk of fighting game fans.
Myself
included. Yeah.
Right, nice to see SNK, you know, putting in the support for their games, which is, you know, publisher support in fighting games is not always a guaranteed thing. So very cool of them to do this.
It's true. Putting up over 10 million yen, which is about $95,000.
Wow. For some reason, I thought the conversion would be much higher than that, because when you look at 10 million like on paper, it's like when you hear it, you're like, damn, that's a lot of money.
Dude, you're just over there, Zori. Come on.
I know, but it's just like the million, you know, the million throws you off.
The millions and millions of yen.
I wonder how they, like, got around the, I guess, the laws that are in place over there that prevent huge sums of prize money from being handed out.
I think it's just changing over there.
Nice.
Yeah. It just seems like the government is trying to figure out esports. So I think, because a lot of the, I mean, my understanding is the reason that those laws were in place in the first place was to prevent gambling on pachinko that's one of the byproducts of this law, because they didn't want people gambling.
Right.
But gambling, obviously, you know, gaming tournaments are not gambling.
Mm-hmm.
It's game skill.
Esports is a thing.
Yeah, esports is a thing. So, you know, Japan is coming around. So, I'm excited. Big opportunity. Also, a big potential come up for a lot of the different existing fighting game tournaments, you know, like the CEOs, the Combo Breakers, the SoCal, NorCal Regionals. You know, now these guys stand to gain a lot also in a good way, because now their events, let's say, aren't just Capcom Pro Tour, now they're SNK World Championship Tour.
And Tekken World Tours.
And Tekken World Tour, yes. Take your pick.
What do you think about the finale happening in, like, March, like in the Q1 period of the year, as opposed to what we're used to seeing, which is, you know, end of the year is when, like, finals for, you know, CPT, Tekken World Tour, other games typically happen?
I think that my understanding is that in Japan, the fiscal year ends in March. So yep. This is like Q4 of their fiscal year,
right
before, you know, the beginning of Q1 of the following year. So to me, when you look at it from that perspective, it makes perfect sense. It's just foreign to us, I guess. But I mean, I see why they do it that way.
But like, as a fighting game fan, are you like, yay, this is great because it kind of spreads things out a little bit more throughout the year? Or you're like, well, that's kind of confusing because, like, you think at the end of the year, you're done, you can take a break from, I don't know, whether it's like competing or watching tournaments or whatever, without fear of missing out on anything. But now instead you have to, like, be like, oh, you know, even though it's the holidays and everything, I got to practice for this tournament, or I got to, you know, do this or do that. get ready for the big finale.
Yeah, that makes sense, but I don't know. It's there. I mean, seems like a very Japanese way of doing it.
So basically, I feel like you don't care.
Truly, if you're here's the thing. If you're really dedicated, it doesn't actually matter, because you're just gonna dedicate your life to pursuing this goal. So, if you're really serious, then yeah, it doesn't matter. But, you know, obviously, it would be nice to have that break. But then on the other hand, I don't know, maybe it sort of makes it so that most people can't do both. You know, it would be harder to compete at that level in, you know, Samurai Showdown or King of Fighters plus, like, Street Fighter or Tekken.
Well, I think there's very little crossover, I want to say, between...
That's true.
Maybe
too.
There's a little bit more in Sam's show, but I think King of Fighters, there's definitely not as much crossover between KOF and, like, the other fighting games, so...
Yeah, so it's on its own circuit now.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that means... Well, it's only August, right? So there's, you know, they could definitely have events. They probably already have all this stuff lined up, right?
Of course. We say that so confidently. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, everything's on like, we're like, damn, we have to host an event in 1 month. Have we announced it yet? Nope. Also, let's feed points retroactively into an event that's already passed, because that's never happened before in fighting games.
Yeah. SNK, call me. I mean, they probably have it figured out. But if not, they should definitely let us know.
Mm-hmm. No, it's cool. I'm very happy for SNK fans. And, of course, you know, love watching KOF myself. So very excited to see how this goes and also see more about their new King of Fighters main game that they announced to much excitement at EVO.
Yes. Yeah. Things are looking up. Yep. Shout outs to Event Hubs for covering this story, making it so easy for us to find.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Event Hubs. Keep up the great work when you can.
Nailing it. All right. And moving on, a sad and dramatic and touching story. I guess that's the way I'm just putting words into your mouth, Zorin. But 100 Thieves is announcing that they're not going to be competing, or not going to be in Call of Duty in 2020. So they're not going to be joining the, what were they calling it? Call of Duty World League?
I actually had to double check that. And you know what? I'm going to double check it again right now. But basically, Call of Duty franchising, right?
Yeah.
Where like teams have to buy permanent spots, much like they do in traditional sports, to participate in the official league of the game, esports, Call of Duty World League. And League of Legends was actually the first game to introduce franchising into esports, with Overwatch League following suit very, very quickly afterwards. Actually, I want to say they both kind of happened at the same time, but like I think League announced their one first, and then the Overwatch League confirmed theirs afterwards, so it was very close. But anyway, point is, Call of Duty World League, run by publisher Activision, who obviously deemed the Overwatch franchising model to be successful enough that they want to emulate it again with the Call of Duty scene. They opened up franchising, and 100 Thieves apparently either didn't make the cut or made a decision to not try and apply for franchising, with rumored fees, I think people talking about, of up to $25 million for a spot in the league. See, there's that million. Million does sound like a lot.
It does.
$25 million. Wow, that's crazy. That's so inflated in my humble esports consultant's opinion.
I mean, $25 million is a drop in the bucket to the right person, you know, or right people.
Okay. So, if the Drake-backed esports organization 100 Thieves passed on it, I don't have much faith for any of the other esports organizations who are endemic to the competitive Call of Duty scene.
Totally. I mean, you know, just because, I mean, even if they had the money, is it really a, you know, is it really worth it?
That's
really
thing.
A good use of money. I don't know. It doesn't seem worth it to me right now.
Yeah, it's not a proven concept. At least the Call of Duty franchising isn't. I mean, Activision probably could make an argument that, hey, like they did it with Overwatch League and look how successful it was for them. But Call of Duty is a totally different game. You know, it's a bloody game, firstly. Like, it's a red-blooded game, which a lot of brands shy away from, that they wouldn't in Overwatch League. So I think that is problematic and also kind of, you know, limits the scope a little bit, but sure isn't family-friendly.
Yeah. The sponsors that come to mind for this type of thing are, of course, the U.S. Army. The U.S. Air Force. The Navy. I can easily foresee a future where, yeah, those play a big role in getting this type of stuff to, like, more mainstream and really putting the money behind it, if and when it does happen. But it seems like, you know, they don't want... It just seems smarter to let the guys with all the money try to beta test this stuff, because it's, like, you know, if you're worth, like, $500 million, you know, what's, like, 10, 20 million to invest in esports, you know?
No problem, yeah. But it's crazy, like...
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, it's so weird to imagine a Call of Duty scene, especially a franchise one, without 100 Thieves, right? Like, 100 Thieves built their brand on Call of Duty. Nadeshot, who is, like, the face of 100 Thieves, built his brand on Call of Duty. So it's crazy to see that they've basically been pushed out of their original game because of, you know, something like franchising.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, could it be that they're taking a stand? That they're like, nah, yeah, this is just not worth it, you know?
Totally. We're
not, you know? It means a lot for them not to be in it, you know?
Yeah, I definitely think Activision needed 100 Thieves more than 100 Thieves needed Activision.
Exactly. You know, it's an unproven model. They are totally proven.
That's right. They're probably the most successful esports team, I want to say, in terms of, like, the monetization of their team. Like, they have, obviously, the merchandise. Their merchandise is killing it right now. They have all their content creators who are absolutely killing it. Like, they're picking up the right people. You know, and they do, like, a lot of good content as well. So, I mean, yeah, props to 100 Thieves making a very brave decision and putting out the announcement for it the way that they did as well.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, you know, you got to keep it real. So, yeah, I think it's a very, very, very bold, very strong move on their part.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
We stand with you, brothers.
Esports in arms, brethren.
Totally. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's about all we got.
Indeed. A bit of a shorter one today, I guess.
Short and sweet.
Can maybe guess why we managed to cut down on some time, you know, a certain individual not here to rant endlessly. I'm just kidding. Miss you, Slasher. Hope you're all right wherever you are. If you've seen a Slasher around, please let him know that he is missed and we do love him dearly.
Yep. Send him. Yeah. His address is on his collar. You'll see. All right. That was fun. All right. Zorin, do we have any closing thoughts? Oh, where do we... what is our takeaway? Oh, the Player Omega stuff. All right, we're going to start working on our decks. Get our pitch together.
100K pitch. 100K is not a lot to work with. Remember that. We need to be really smart about how we manage that fund, you know.
Okay. All right. I mean, 100,000 esports dollars, you know. What does that equate to? We'll see. I can feel it.
The wheels are turning. Wheels are turning.
Anyways, thank you guys so much for joining us on the official esports show, the official show of esports, which is powered by XSplit. Thank you, XSplit and Lewis, for making it happen for us this week. Check out XSplit streaming software. If you're trying to get into streaming, you can stream your games, stream talk shows about esports with your friends. You can turn into the next potential ninja all through XSplit. Zorin, where do people go for more Zorin?
This Player Omega Festival in Pomona, apparently. You can find me on Twitter at Zorin. That's at Zorine. On Instagram is Team Zorin, where I've been posting photos of where I went on vacation. And on Twitch as Team Zorin.
All right. Check out Zorin's photos from Japan, including her dress. Were you dressed as like a geisha or something?
Excuse me, no. Nope. I was wearing a yukata, which is what they wear for like summer festivals there.
Oh, okay. I had a totally different vision in my head. Okay. Check out Zorin's vacation photos. Thank you guys so much for watching. Hit the follow button, the like button, whatever. We're going to put this bad boy up on... back up on iTunes and Spotify. Just you wait. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Gutex. New videos on the YouTube channel. Oh, new videos. Oh, quick cross counter promo. The Evo panels are up and available on our YouTube channel, so check them out. There's the Women of the FGC panel. Evolution of streaming with me and Spooky and Max. The applying for sponsorships panel from Jackie. The Twitch panel with Z. Oh, so many good panels. Anyways, go check that stuff out. Thanks for watching.
Thanks, everyone. All right, bye. Catch you later.
Bye.